It's actually an insult against all medieval torture. I mean, it was never this bad. I hath not seen, nor has it entered into the imagination of man, the things that God has prepared for them that reject him. In his chamber of horrors, which they imagine. Because it's just not here.
When you hear the way they describe it, as I said, they will be tortured in his presence, tormented. And whatever, and this applies back to chapter 14. It's the same word. I probably should have gone more into the Greek at that point, but you know, I do these things without really much preparation, if any at all. I just go based on what the Spirit leads me. So if it's revealed now, it's revealed now. I covered that then. Now I cover this now. It's an examination. When he looks on them with the fire, or his eyes are like a flame of fire, they'll be tormented in his presence. And, you know, I know some people also believe in, what they call it, the restitution of all things. I totally disagree with that. They're going to perish in their corruption. That's what it says. God doesn't owe everyone. You know, if that's the case, then, you know, he just might as well keep on going, creating more and more. This world is way too rough for that kind of stuff, honestly. And the word is way too rough for it. God is not interested in saving everybody. He can make more if he wants to do that. He can create everything to be saved. He created vessels for honor and vessels for dishonor. And not only that, as it says, they will look upon the carcasses of the men. What are carcasses but dead things? This is the second death. You know, it'd be one thing if it was just torture. Then we know they were alive, but they're not alive. God only has immortality. Immortality is brought to light through Jesus Christ. Through faith in him, we obtain immortality. Souls are not immortal. Just as God breathed the breath of life into man, he became a living soul. God can take that away, and man is dead. Darkness and blackness. For whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever? Verse 11 says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life." Here it says, now, because there's such a thing as spiritual death, of course. The rest of the dead, though, it means dead from our perspective. They did not live again. But here we now, we see the dead. They've been brought back for judgment. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell were delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire." So here we see the dead stand in the second resurrection that was implied before. Now they live again. They are not spoken of as living, though, because they do not live and reign with Christ, but they are here to be judged. This is the resurrection of damnation. The thing is, if you weren't raised up in the first resurrection, when you raise it this one, it means you're going to be judged now based on your works. This is sort of the judgment of God's justification, the judgment of condemnation. They're going to be brought before him. Now they get to see. It's, I think, fair. Not so much fair. Well, it's fair in this sense. It's actually more than fair. He could just leave them dead. But, you know, you think about it. If you, even, you know, people who don't believe in God, they would really like to know. You know, it would kind of suck to, you know, have them die, and then the resurrection happens to everybody else. They never get raised. They just lay there, and we forget about them. God wants the wicked to see that they have been judged unworthy. He wants them to receive their penny. He wants them to know they have their penny. He wants them to know that his grace is not on them. And this is about as cruel as it gets as far as I'm concerned. I don't see God as torturing people forever. As it says here, I don't see any mention of torture of human beings. They're going to stand. They're going to be judged. They're not going to... this is not a judgment of grace. I mean, could God forgive sins here? Could he pardon people and let them enter into life? Yes, he could. Of course he could. God's judging it. It's his prerogative. But I don't want to stand in this judgment. I don't want to stand in that judgment. I want to be blessed and holy as he that hath pardoned the first resurrection. That's what I want to be. I don't want to be in this. They stand, and this book is open, the book of life. All will worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. From the foundation of the world, our names are written in that book. Because God operates on the basis of predestination. He chooses who he will save. The world was created for him to create, for him to bring forth sons. The sons of God. The whole creation groans and travails to bring forth the sons of God. That's his whole purpose here. And all this other stuff is sort of him being gracious to them, and as far as letting them know what's going on and why they are unworthy. If you do not receive eternal life through grace, men are going to want to justify themselves. Men would like to stand at this judgment. They'd like to stand there and tell him a thing or two. If I could see God, I'd tell him a thing or two. The way you run that world, I didn't like it. There's so much suffering and evil in the world, and they want to, you know, they got to have their opportunity to talk to him, to say their piece and try. I wonder how many people will actually, you know, if they even get a chance to speak. It doesn't say anything about them speaking, honestly. The books are going to be open. What's in the books? All their deeds. Because that's what it says. They're going to be judged out of those things which are written in the books, according to their works. The books are symbolic. God knows all. He remembers all, and it's written in a book of remembrance, so to speak. Will there be actual books? Will there be actually a throne? A white throne? I mean, is this, how much of this is symbolic? How much of this is literal? Well, I'll tell you what. The judgment is definitely literal. He's going to be judging, and they're going to be condemned. Or, I suppose, exonerated based on, they're going to be judged according to their works. Doesn't say a lot about grace here. It's going to say they're going to be judged according to their works. Like I said, if the grace of God is on you, you will receive the resurrection at the first resurrection, because that's what the grace of God leads you to. But then you think about the people born in the millennium and you wonder about them. It could be a different case. I don't know. We don't know much about that time. So let's set that aside. I'm just thinking in terms of the people who have died. And what about the people who died never knowing the gospel? Well, they're going to be judged by their works. You know, the parable I mention all the time of the workers of the vineyard, it applies in all these situations. God is